are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves, and happy Monday, everybody. Hope that everybody had a fantastic weekend with family and friends and turkey and football, and also that your happiness wasn't solely tied to Timberwolves basketball. It really shouldn't be anyways, but especially not this weekend. Hopefully you had a lot of other things going on, had some shopping, perhaps, or doing some Cyber Monday shopping, participating in Giving Tuesday this week to your favorite charity. All of those things would be great, but the Timberwolves did not have a great Thanksgiving weekend, at least on the court. The Wolves are actually in the midst of playing just one game in 7 days, and that one game was an absolute stinker on Sunday afternoon. I warned everybody right here on this podcast back on Friday that Sunday was going to be a game that was prime for lazy basketball. The team hadn't played since last Wednesday. As I mentioned, one game in 7 days. They had 3 days at home since then, plus Thanksgiving. Sunday's a matinee game. Was a sparse crowd. The crowd that was there at Target Center was very quiet. Everybody was still probably in the midst of finishing off their turkey leftovers and was not ready to cheer on their NBA team on a Sunday afternoon. And neither was the NBA team ready to give their fans anything to cheer about. I wish I had been wrong, but as it turns out, I wasn't when it comes to the effort level and attentiveness of the Timberwolves on Sunday afternoon. So today we're going to focus quite a bit on that game, unfortunately. So please still listen, even though we're going to talk about a really depressing game. And then we're going to briefly look ahead at the week, which is a pretty light week for the Timberwolves in terms of number of games as they head back out on the road here in the next couple of days. Overall on Sunday, the Wolves played a decent first half. I mean, it was pretty sloppy and they missed a lot of shots, but Memphis was actually shooting the ball far worse than the Wolves. They were like somewhere in the mid-30s percentage-wise at halftime. The Wolves were a little over 40%, but the Wolves overall just were kind of sluggish. Played a decent first half until midway through the second quarter before the Grizzlies opened up a little bit of a lead. The Grizzlies were up by a score of 48-43 with 30 seconds left in the second quarter. And they had a quick fast break after Josh Okogie squeezed the trigger too early instead of running out the rest of the clock. Clanked a three-pointer. The Grizzlies had a run out. D'Anthony Melton had a shot at a wide-open layup and missed it. The Wolves got the rebound, pushed the ball up the floor, and Okogie did a great job of avoiding Bruno Caboclo, who tried to take a charge, was called for a blocking foul. Grizzlies are in the penalty, so the Wolves should have been down by 7 at halftime if that layup had gone in with just 9 seconds left, or I guess 5 seconds left for the Grizzlies. They missed the layup. Okogie hits 2 free throws. Now they're down 3 with just a second left. Sorry, that wasn't Caboclo that took the charge. It was Dylan Brooks that tried to take the charge, was called for a blocking foul. Then right after Okogie makes the free throws, Caboclo goes to inbound the ball, and Robert Covington was laying in the weeds, stole it, hit a little mid-range bank shot right at the buzzer of the first half to put the Wolves down 48-47. So what should have been a 7-point lead was a 1-point lead. So a serious 6-point swing in about a span of 5 seconds for the Timberwolves. So that's kind of when it felt like, okay, they're going to get this together. The Wolves will be fine. Rough game. It's going to be ugly, but they're going to manage to beat this Grizzlies team, who, by the way, we haven't even mentioned this. The Grizzlies ended up being without Ja Morant, who killed the Wolves in Memphis a few weeks ago. He had back spasms, didn't even make the trip. Kyle Anderson was out as well. Brandon Clark played. He had been questionable, I think, before the start of the game and ended up only playing 10 minutes before he aggravated his hip injury. So three of the Grizzlies' probably best 4 or 5 players weren't available, and it was really the Dylan Brooks show for Memphis. He's the only guy who really hurt the Timberwolves in terms of offensive production, yet somehow they still scored 115 points. But at any rate, the third quarter, the Wolves played much, much better in the third quarter overall. Karl Anthony Towns at halftime only had 4 points. He had, I think, 5 assists at halftime as well. He had 5 rebounds. So he played an active first half, but he just wasn't much. The Wolves didn't make a concerted effort to get him the ball. And they were only down 1 at halftime. They didn't really need to. So clearly the third quarter started with the Wolves saying, we need to get him the ball consistently. And so they ran a number of plays to get Towns touches in the post, and he scored. I mean, he played well and had a monster third quarter. I believe he had 12 points in the third quarter, 13 points in the third quarter. He continued to only do his damage from the post. He grabbed a couple of offensive rebounds, made some putbacks, but he was 0-for from beyond the arc until the fourth quarter. He missed his first 8 shots from deep, which is crazy for anybody, but I guess a guy shooting 44% especially. That said, the Grizzlies made a run at the end of the quarter where they scored. They scored like, and then when it was like a 9-3 run at the end of the third quarter and built a 7-point lead before the final frame. And so that was a little bit disconcerting, but you still kind of felt like, they're only 3 possessions back. The Wolves opened the fourth with a little bit of a run. The Grizzlies ended up pushing their lead to 7 at 97-90 with just over 8 minutes left in the game. And then they pushed it to 9 before the Wolves pushed back once again. And the Wolves got to within 4 points after a pair of Karl Anthony free throws with just over 5 minutes to go. And then as soon as that happened, it was just a super quick 6-0 run. Dylan Brooks and one layup and one. Trayvon Graham turnover, D'Anthony Melton 3-pointer, and it was a 10-point game. The Wolves never really recovered from that. Being down 10 points with just under 5 minutes to go, the Grizzlies pushed it to 11, and then later they pushed it to 12, and ultimately the Wolves lost by 8. It was a super frustrating performance all the way around. The biggest issues, or the biggest concern being that the Grizzlies are a 5-win team anyways. They were 5-13 coming into the game. They were extremely shorthanded. Nobody had any offensive production with any consistency or efficiency except for Dylan Brooks. And the Wolves somehow still couldn't come out with a win on their home floor where they've been awful so far this year. And now the Grizzlies are 6-13 and a third of their wins have come against your Minnesota Timberwolves. The Wolves are just a horrendous 3-7 at home, which of course means that they're 7-2 on the road. So a complete inverse of what you'd expect. And it's not exactly giving Timberwolves fans good reason to make sure they're coming out and cheering, cheering in full throat for the Timberwolves at this point in the season. But here we are. We'll dig a little bit into some of the individual performances, the studs and duds for the Wolves. And there was a pretty clear line today or on Sunday regarding the players that played well and the players that didn't. Sometimes it's, everybody kind of goes one way or the other and we have less duds. But this game, there were only a couple players who really came to play for the Timberwolves. So we'll dive into that a little bit more here in a second. First, I wanted to mention our friends at Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and 2 Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. If you're listening on the go and can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from our Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. It's lockedonpodcast.com/offers for the Audible offer, as well as all other offers from Locked On sponsors. In terms of individual production for the Timberwolves against the Grizzlies on Sunday, I mentioned Dylan Brooks was the only guy that really did damage on offense for the Grizzlies. It's true. He's the only guy that had more than 13 points, but the Grizzlies had 6 players score between 10 and 13 points. So they had 7 guys in double figures. And that's with one of their starters, Brandon Clark, playing 10 minutes and getting hurt. Jaren Jackson had 12 points. Tyus Jones had 12 points, 7 assists in his return to target center, although he didn't really play down the stretch in crunch time. Solomon Hill had 11 points. Bruno Caboclo had 12, and Grayson Allen had 13 and hit 3 of his 6 3-point attempts. And really, the Grizzlies' bench is what was so impressive. Dylan Brooks was actually a minus 14 on the game, which makes no sense because he just killed the Wolves, especially down the stretch. But Solomon Hill played great off the bench. Grayson Allen was very good. He had been hurt the last time that the Wolves played the Grizzlies. And, the Grizzlies were shorthanded, only had 11 guys available, and they got the job done. As for the Wolves' individual performances, Towns was the only guy over 20 points. He had 21 points. Took him 20 shots to get there, and he was 1 of 10. He missed his first 8 shots from beyond the arc and finished 1 of 10 from downtown, as I mentioned earlier. It was brutal. It's not like he was He didn't airball any three-pointers. They were all in-and-out type shots, which is what happens to Towns sometimes, and he gets in his head a little bit. He played well in the post. I mean, if you take out all those shots, he was, what, 6-for-10 from the field overall or inside the arc? He had 12 rebounds. 3 of them were offensive rebounds. He had 5 assists, only 2 turnovers. The only, I guess, concerns with Towns were obviously the three-point struggles weren't great. He had 5 assists at halftime, 0 in the second half. He got into a little bit of that mode where he just got frustrated when he was in the post and was just not going to give the ball up. He was going to try and fight through double teams. For the most part, it worked out, and he had a decent game outside of the three-point shooting, and there was one real bad turnover at the end when they were down by like 7 or 8 and trying to make a comeback. He just threw the ball directly to a defender. Towns was okay in this game. He was probably the Wolves' best, or I guess second best player if we're grading on a curve, among any player that played for the Wolves. Kata Bates-Diop was really the only other player. I guess before we get to Bates-Diop, let's talk about Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins had a good game. He had 18 points on 17 shots, so a similar efficiency to Towns. He was 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. So Wiggins and Towns combined to go 2 for 16 from three-point range. Towns was 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and Wiggins was 5 of 5. So both guys could have, it would have been nice if they'd each gotten there a couple more times, but they combined for 11 from the free throw line. Wiggins had 7 assists as he started again at point guard in this game, and he had 6 rebounds, a couple of blocks and a steal, 3 turnovers. He was just a slight positive on the night. Towns was a slight negative. Both guys had okay games despite their efficiency issues. They both filled out the box score with rebounds and assists, didn't turn the ball over a ton. They were okay on defense. Towns had a couple of really nice defensive plays. He took a tough charge at one point against Jaren Jackson. In fact, Jaren Jackson's fouled out. He had 6 personals in just 19 minutes. And Towns did a good job there, held Jackson to 2 rebounds. So tough to complain too much about Towns and Wiggins, although they've certainly played better. Kata Bates-Diop was really the only other guy that really came to play in this game for the Wolves. He played 25 minutes off the bench, 10 points, 5 rebounds, shot 4 of 7 from the field, and was a perfect 2 of 2 from beyond the arc, and was just solid. I mean, for what, the third or maybe fourth straight game that he's been really good, and he probably has earned more than those 25 minutes. Although Robert Covington had a decent game himself too, and so he played 31 minutes, which is his most in a little while. The problem for the Wolves in this game was primarily on the wing. Anybody not named Robert Covington, Kata Bates-Diop, and Andrew Wiggins had just an awful game. Shabazz Napier played his first game in 4 weeks, so it was good to see Shabazz on the court. He had a three-pointer early in his first stint, but he was a minus 14 in just 9 minutes, which is really hard to do. He struggled mightily on defense. I think the whole time he was on the court, he was with Jeff Teague, so the Wolves opted to go with a two-point guard lineup, and it didn't go well at all. Teague was a minus 13. They were easily the worst two on the floor in terms of plus-minus for the Wolves. Travion Graham had a tough game. He could not guard Dylan Brooks for the life of him, and for as much as it feels like he's a good defender, he's not as good of a defender as either Covington or Okogie, and I don't know why the Wolves didn't try changing that up a little bit. Graham had 22 minutes in this game, and of course, per usual, he doesn't provide anything on offense, and he's just not a good enough defender to warrant the consistent minutes that he's getting. I think the Wolves would be much better served to start Okogie and make Kata Bates-Diop the primary guy off the bench on the wing. Keelan Martin wasn't with the team for this game. I believe he went back to Iowa. Would have been nice to have him available. And eventually when Jake Layman gets back, perhaps maybe he gets the starting nod with Okogie off the bench and Graham plays a lot less, or maybe he's out of the rotation. I think we're at the point where we have to seriously start talking about that because of essentially the Wolves are playing 4 and 5 on offense. And if he's not going to be able to stop the guy he's assigned to guard, then there's no reason for him to be on the floor. And he was easily the worst player for the Wolves in this game on the court in those 22 minutes. Bates-Diop keeps making a case for more minutes, and I think that he deserves to see more minutes. Obviously he's not generally going to play the two, but he can switch onto twos just fine. And he can primarily guard fours and some threes. But I think a Covington, Kata Bates-Diop duo at the four makes a lot of sense. And then with some big lineups where each guy is going to play the three as well, and perhaps share the court together. I think they did briefly this game, maybe in the third quarter. I think would be a really interesting, intriguing lineup combination for Ryan Saunders to roll out there. All right, next up, we're going to put a bow on this game real quickly and then take a peek ahead at what's upcoming for the Wolves and if they can continue their insane start to the season on the road coming up this Wednesday and beyond. Okay, last couple notes related to Wolves-Grizzlies on Sunday. Gorgui Dieng, once again, got all the backup center minutes. There was no Jordan Bell or Noah Vonleh that saw the court in this game, and that seemed to be about right. Gorgui played well. He had 3 points, 5 rebounds in 12 minutes. He made his first three-point attempt, missed his next couple, but he appears to have won the backup center job, or I guess taken it back from Noah Vonleh. I think it still makes sense to handle that based on matchups for the Wolves, although this matchup did make sense for Gorgui to be in the game. So we'll see moving forward, but you feel a little bit for Noah Vonleh, thinking he was signing a one-year deal to get a chance to build up his free agency value next offseason. But then again, it's December 2nd, so there's still some time for him to get on the court and earn back a rotation spot. But great play again from Gorgui. Good to see him back in the rotation. Jarrett Culver had a really good game. I neglected to point him out when I was listing the players that played well for the Wolves. He did have 14.7 rebounds in 26 minutes. He started this game again. He was 6 of 12 from the field. Had a stretch in the fourth where he almost single-handedly brought the Wolves back, where he hit a three-pointer. He had a defensive rebound, came down and had a dunk. It just played an all-around strong game for the Wolves, and had actually the best plus-minus mark on the Timberwolves in this game was a +5, which is not something we're used to seeing from Jarrett Culver. So while the advanced stats are, you know, show that Culver hasn't himself been super good so far this year, he hasn't been a rotation-worthy player, I think Wolves fans would agree that they've seen some strong flashes from him. His confidence level is extremely high at all times, which is really important. While he's not a good shooter, he's shown a lot of promise going to the rim and using his length to finish around defenders. And when he's being guarded by, you know, a point guard, he's going to be getting the worst defender of the backcourt if Wiggins is being guarded by the best defender on the opposition, Culver's going to have opportunities to score. And for the most part, he's done a pretty good job with that. He's had some real stinkers in terms of games, but, you know, the Wolves will take 14-7 with an assist and a steal and only one turnover pretty much any night from Jarrett Culver. So really promising to see him continue to play well. And I think that's kind of a side theme of the season so far that we're not really talking about, is that if this is the worst version of Jarrett Culver, then, and he's only going to get better, then he's going to be a good player. And the Wolves did a good job trading up and ending up with him in the draft last June. All right, looking ahead to the next few days for the Timberwolves, I mentioned this was their only game in 7 days. They played last Wednesday at San Antonio, had the Sunday matinee, and then don't play again until this upcoming Wednesday in Dallas. It's somehow it's only the first time the Wolves are going to have faced the Mavericks this season is this Wednesday. It's a 7:30 tip in Dallas, so we'll spend some time on Wednesday morning on our podcast talking about that game on Wednesday night. And then the Wolves will be in Oklahoma City on Friday night at the Thunder. It's a game that I plan to be at to see the Wolves take on the Thunder for the first time this year. Of course, Dallas is having a great season. They're 13-6. They took down the Lakers on Sunday, and the Lakers are now 17-3, so just an incredible performance by the Mavs. They've won, they had won 5 in a row, lost to the Clippers, now have won 2, so they've won 7 of their last 8 games. Luka Doncic has just been unbelievable so far this year. So tough task for the Wolves on the road on Wednesday in Dallas, and then Friday night at Oklahoma City. The Thunder are 8-11 so far this year, maybe a little bit better than what folks have expected out of them. They just beat the Pelicans in both parts of a home and home. And the Pacers the Thunder have the Pacers upcoming on Wednesday ahead of Wolves Thunder on Friday. And then the Wolves stay out on the West Coast. They head out to LA to play the Lakers and then Phoenix on a back-to-back Sunday and Monday, and don't have another home game until next Wednesday, the 11th, against Utah. So 4 road games in the stretch of about 9 days. They're all difficult games, really. I mean, the Thunder and Phoenix are both under 500, but they're not terrible teams. And Dallas and the Lakers are 2 of the best teams in the league. So a tough road stretch. The Wolves will really put their 7-2 road record to the test. And then they'll come back home for a 3-game homestand in the middle of December. So certainly a challenging stretch for the Timberwolves, an opportunity to get a couple of big Western Conference wins. They haven't had a West Coast swing yet this year, and they understandably have struggled on the West Coast of late on those West Coast road trips, but they need to pull out of this one with at least a couple wins. You know, losing to Dallas and the Lakers would be just fine, but beating the Thunder and the Suns would go a long way towards coming back home with a little bit of momentum and staying above the 500 mark, as the Wolves are at 10-9 right now heading out on the road. And in terms of the overall landscape of the Western Conference, the Wolves are still sitting in the seventh spot. The loss didn't really do anything for that. They are a game and a half behind the Jazz at number six and a game and a half ahead of the Suns at number eight, as the West has kind of started to separate a little bit between the top, I guess really the top six teams and then everybody else. And the Wolves so far are the class of the everybody else class, but have a negative point differential. And that game against the Suns is really important. You don't want to fall to 0-2 against a team that you're likely going to be battling for playoff position. Same with the Thunder too. Those are both teams that will likely end up in a similar spot as the Wolves when it's all said and done at the end of the season. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Remember, the Locked On Podcast Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.